Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a blessed day today, and you guys had an awesome Easter resurrection weekend. Lots of stuff going on, as always. And how are you doing today, Deb?
Austin, I'm doing great today. The weather here is beautiful today, 73 degrees, partly sunny skies. I haven't seen any chemtrails, so it's been great. But we've got a doggone migrant army of 1,500 people coming towards the United States. And the White House, is pretending to be helpless to stop it. Mexico's aiding this. 1,500 migrants from Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua, mostly young males again, of course, are making their way through Mexico, headed to the U.S. border. President Trump is threatening to end DACA and pull out of NAFTA if Mexico does not stop the onslaught. However, everyone knows that the Mexican government is actually helping the group in its journey. We shall see if the threats actually are followed up with action instead of threatening to react to the invasion if it happens. Probably President Trump should exercise the power of his office to simply prevent it from happening in the very first place, which I think is kind of crazy. This is actually happening right now, and the White House is sitting there, you know, again with his eyes in the headlight like a deer in the night, wondering what in the world to do. What do you think about this, Austin? What a mess.
Well, it's pretty crazy to me. I saw the same thing today, and they're blatantly helping them, supporting them. They're even bragging about it. One individual that's basically aiding the group, a group Pablo Sin Fronteras, posted a video with the caption, "The refugee caravan knocking down borders yesterday in Houghton. Immigrant agents abandoned their post as soon as they saw us coming. The people celebrate this first small victory." So I guess they're very proud of being a horde of invaders, which, I mean, some people in the past have been proud of that, of being massive, you know, invaders and bringing in hordes of people. That's not anything I would be proud of, but apparently these people are, so whatever. However, this needs to be addressed. The goal they've stated is basically to cross into the United States this week and demand asylum, which I find kind of funny. They're this horde of people coming in, and as soon as they get here, they're basically going to demand that we capitulate and give them free stuff. And the irony of it is, the sad part is most of the time when you see individuals like this, as soon as they get here, they're extremely quick to raise their Mexican flag, yell how much they love Mexico, demand that we support them and we continue to give them money. At the same time, they curse the United States and burn our flag and raise the Mexico flag above them while they're in this country. We've seen it time and time again in immigration protests. So it's very odd to see stuff like that. But yeah, this needs to be addressed. Border control needs to have very staunch security with this. And handle it appropriately. We don't want any type of, unarmed civilians obviously being hurt on that side. But on the other hand, too, we can't just start allowing and letting people think that they can just bring in thousands of people at a time and demand to come into the country because they demand to do it. It just doesn't work that way, Deb.
Well, you know, it's so funny. I mean, everybody's going nuts. It's 1,500 people. We got 30 million of them here already. And I remember I'm watching a show one time on TV, and it was talking about the massive migration from South and Central America into the United States. And they were actually getting on trains in Central America and sitting on the roof of trains, hanging off the side of trains.
Yep.
I mean, the entire rooftops of the trains were completely covered with human beings. There was like literally not a square inch available on the roof. And they were riding like that for days, if not weeks, trying to get to the United States. Just because they couldn't walk, it was so far from Central America, and the Mexican government, even at that point, was facilitating this immigration problem that we were having because Mexico didn't want them in their country. So they were just using the country as a conduit to get them through, to get them to the United States. Now, guys, you know, again, I don't have a problem with people coming over here, you know, legally. I don't have a problem with people coming over here who are skill-setted people who know how to do things. I have no problem with any of that stuff. My mom's an immigrant from Germany, and she came in and did it the right way. My grandfather was an immigrant from Germany. He came in and he did it the right way. So what I have a problem with is getting over here, like Austin says, and then burning the American flag, spitting on our flag, desecrating our flag, and telling everybody how much they hate America because they don't get more free stuff. It doesn't make any sense to me. And then on the other hand, you get people like in Israel right now. Israel kills more than 14 unarmed Palestinians on the first day of the Land Day protest. Land Day is the anniversary of the killing of six Palestinian workers, protesters by Israelis in 1976. The purpose of the protest, which will last 6 weeks until May 15th, is the University of Israelis' seizure of Palestine in 1948, is to raise international awareness. The Israelis erected a fence around the occupied territory and declared the fence area a military zone, which means they shoot to kill anyone attempting to breach the fence. Approaching right up to the fence, and in some cases actually breaking through it, is what the unarmed Palestinian protesters are determined to do in the ensuing confrontation. Israeli soldiers fired live rounds and tear gas containers and canisters into the crowds. 17 were killed and over 1,000 wounded on the first day. A video clip showing soldiers attaining a 3-year-old Palestinian boy in the West Bank. This is from G. Edward Griffin again. Guys, this is, I guess, the response to Israel as far as people trying to breach into their territory, but yet the United States doesn't say anything about Israel killing 14 on the first day of the land protest, and who knows how many more they will kill, but we're supposed to just go ahead and allow 1,500 men, primarily young fighting age men, to come into the country completely unmolested, to go freely on their way, to come into the United States, to get into our tax base. None of this makes any sense to me at all anymore. And why does Israel get a pass on this? The world just doesn't say anything about her. We don't in the United States. They do in Europe. But yet we can't defend our borders with lethal force. What do you think, Austin?
It's interesting because I read multiple articles on this topic. And it was funny because almost every article I read heavily criticized essentially the horde of Palestinians that were protesting and approaching the border and basically made them out to be like they were absolutely horrific, which granted I don't approve of anybody crossing anybody's border against, you know, the country's will. On the other hand, too, it seemed like every article tried to justify the fact that the Israeli military used live ammunition on protesters that, from what I've read, were primarily unarmed. The one incident I did read is that they said one Palestinian fired a shot in the direction of the border, which I'm sure that's what they're using now as Israelis' backup, is saying this is why we opened fire on the crowd, because we had a shot fired at us. However, I've only been able to find that on one article, and I could not verify, obviously, because I wasn't there, if that was even accurate. However, it is kind of ironic, as you just said, Dad, how we essentially sit back and completely condone Israel's behavior on using live ammo on protesters that are trying to basically either cross the border, damage the border, throw things over the border, roll tires under the border, all these different things that I've read. But at the same time, we're supposed to absolutely embrace a horde of immigrants that are demanding to storm into the United States by force and demand asylum when they get here. And if we do anything other than embrace them with open arms and thank them for coming here to basically splurge on our taxpayer system and get free things from the government, then we're essentially racist. So I do find the double standard quite ironic, as you just mentioned there.
It is absolutely nuts. By the way, there are now more murders in London than in New York City. How do you like that? Historically,
wow.
London has had a murder rate that ranges from half to 1/20th of the number of people killed in New York City since the 1800s. However, it's now surpasses New York City, not just for murders, but for rape as well. In fact, rape in London is triple the number in New York City. Triple. These increases are a large part due to the fact that the Muslim mayor ordered police to stop searching for weapons on non-white suspects. I'm going to read that one more time. This increases are due largely in part to the fact that the Muslim mayor ordered police to stop searching for weapons on non-white subjects. Okay, one more time. If you're white, you get searched. If you're non-white, you don't get searched. That sounds crazy, but that's what they're doing. Also, police are unwilling to confront suspects knowing that they will not be supported by their departments. Cressa Dick, who heads up the London Police Force, has refused to acknowledge that Pakistani Muslim grooming gangs are a problem, nor are the gang-raping hordes of barbarians. She says they have been in Britain for centuries and centuries and centuries. And the rise in crime and violence, she says, is caused by social media Okay, there's the real rise in crime and violence is social media, and the solution, of course, is more control over the internet and get
there
rid of social media and more money for our larger police force, which is, of course, classic collectivism or communism. I mean, this is absolutely nuts. I mean, this is what's happening in Germany. It's what's happening in all these countries that are bringing these barbarian, migrant, Muslim, gang-raping hordes into their country. I mean, gosh, guys, this is just unbelievable now that Russia, that London has turned into this. But I will admit this now. The last few times I was in London, it was very, very difficult to find anybody there who spoke English. You have to literally get out into the countryside now. The Cotswolds are still real pretty, but you have to get out of the countryside and get out of London because of the ethnic diversity there to find people that speak English. You're either getting them out of India, you're getting them out of Pakistan, you're getting them out of these Muslim countries. But, guys, it's a real, real mess over there now. What do you think, Austin?
It is. It's very sad. The more stuff you read and the more stuff we talk to people that are over there, I mean, it's crazy because it's like everything they're doing in the UK now is to basically demonize the citizens of that country that supported that country, that were born in that country, that have lived in that country for hundreds and thousands of years of generations. They're being demonized for basically being who they are, and everybody else that's basically coming in there as a migrant is given a free pass. It's very, very sad to me to see this happening in such a beautiful country, but this is the goal of the New World Order, to allow basically Europe to be taken over again, like it already started to before the First Crusade started, and to completely break down Europe, and then they can allow it to be rebuilt under the New World Order with the New World regulations. Very, very weird stuff. Also, too, if you guys saw today, trade wars fear as Dow drops more than 700 points and the NASDAQ plunged 3% on Monday. Trade tensions between China and the United States are now rising as today Beijing rolled out tariffs worth $3 billion USD on an array of U.S. goods. They slapped extra tariffs up to 25% on 128 U.S. products, including frozen pork, wine, and an assortment of fruits and nuts. Washington said there's been a growing concern that Beijing is starting to bend the concept of free trade to suit its domestic agenda and global ambitions. Yeah, duh. Beijing's rhetoric has failed to impress Trump's team of advisors, who have quickly highlighted the record $275 billion trade deficit, which the U.S. has been racking up with China now. And this is almost ironic to me that China is turning around and slapping us with trade deficits, which is where trade tariffs, which we kind of expected. And this is what Dad and I talked about last week, and if you listen to the Hagman Show last Friday, I talked about this because Doug brought this up, and I am all about increasing tariffs, especially on the steel and metals that are coming out of China. My biggest concern is that our actual industry in the United States is able to spool up fast enough before we have a massive, massive increase in the cost of goods at the base consumer level when we increase tariffs this quickly on China, and in turn, now we're seeing a giant trade war already start with China, with all the tariffs they slapped on us. And it's just ironic to me, though, how we literally, and we pointed this out on the show, how, I mean, when you bring a U.S. car into China, we already pay a 25% tariff on those vehicles. If you try to bring them into China, they bring stuff into the country virtually almost at no cost, in some cases for free, but then we try to buy or own a company in China, and they will not allow us to own more than 50% of our own company in China, yet they come over here and basically do whatever they want. I talked to one of Lana's friends last night who was in town. They stopped by. They're both from California. The girl's mother is basically a flight attendant for American Airlines. So we were talking about a lot of different things that have been going on and certain things that are going on with transport. And she does a lot of Western flights, basically from California to China, California to Japan, and so forth. And she said it is unprecedented now on flights coming back from California going to China with children that are infants that are Chinese. And she said what they have figured out to do now, they've been starting to do this for years, is they bring their females over here because of a lot of these strict, basically child issues, child laws over there, and also too because California in the western United States is becoming so populated with Chinese, it's become very easily, they bring the pregnant women over to China. They fly them over from China to California, whether it be on a visitor's pass, whether it be on an immigration visa, whatever the case they need to do, as soon as they get them into California, they're usually having the baby within 1 to 2 months of being here, well within the bounds of the visa that they're on. Obviously, once they have the baby here, it's automatically a dual citizen because it's born in the United States. Then they immediately fly back over to China after they get their Social Security and permit number from the United States, and they have a fully dual citizen baby. And apparently they've been doing this for some time now in an attempt to essentially control the market, because now as these children are growing up, they have the ability to own companies in China and the United States and travel freely back and forth with pretty much zero control. And at the same time, they can operate in both countries at the same time and maintain business operations much, much more than we could ever do in the United States as a single citizen. So I thought that was interesting too, Dad, that that's becoming more and more prevalent now. At the same time, we're seeing China just absolutely rack up more and more tariffs on the United States for our imports over there.
Well, you know, they're running, like you said, almost a $300 billion deficit, the United States is, with China every year.
Yeah.
You know, which is what, $25-30 million to $1 billion a month. And for Trump to sanction them for $50 billion is just a tiny fraction of this deficit,
yeah,
that we're giving China. So China needs to watch that, because if we start putting tariffs on everything, we will quickly close the gap, which we should have done a long, long time ago, in the imports coming out of China. Now, what it'll mean, instead of paying, you know, $7 for a towel at Walmart, you may have to pay $9 for a towel, you know, at Walmart, if you choose to buy things at Walmart, and have it made back in the USA again. When Sam Wall was still alive, his whole thing was made in the USA. He painted his stores red, white, and blue, for heaven's sakes, because he wanted everybody to know that he wasn't going to start doing huge imports for textiles and linens and stuff out of China. He kept it in the United States. In fact, Walmart single-handedly kept the textile industry, the linen industry, in business in the United States. And he wasn't even dead in the grave. It hadn't even cooled off yet. And then his sons and the people who were running the factory started immediately doing cost cutting and bringing more and more stuff, including linens, from China, which immediately collapsed the linen textile industry in the United States. I mean, it was within a year to two, it was pretty much out of business. Oh, by the way, David Hogg, your favorite young fellow there, Austin, is now using boycotts against advertisers to punish Fox News. And this is crazy. On Twitter, Fox News commentator Laura Ingraham mocked David Hogg, the anti-gun spokesman from Parkland School, who's now saying he wasn't even at the school during the shooting, for being rejected from four colleges. They threw him out of four, wouldn't let him go to four colleges. Hogg responded by calling her for a boycott of her advertisers, and his case was promoted sympathetically by the entire left-stream media. After losing sponsors, Ingraham had to apologize, and Fox has punished her by putting her on leave for a week. Unbelievable that Fox capitulated to this, and unbelievable that this little punk brat has the ability to go and do a boycott against the advertisers on Fox News and actually get something done. This kid is a complete and total stooge. He is a cutout. He is a plant. He was put there by the FBI, by the CIA, by the New World Order to do exactly what he's done. Austin and I got an article the other day that came in. We're trying to vet it. It says that protest march up in D.C. or up in Boston was actually scheduled before the shooting occurred in Parkland. So I'm saying it this way. The Parkland shooting may or may not have had anything to do with that protest march. It could have been going on before the protest march, before the shooting, but they may have just used the shooting to further give more advertising to that protest march up there in the Northeast. What do you think about that, Austin? But we are not saying that is accurate, nor are we saying they are linked. What do you think?
Correct. I mean, I saw an email. It basically was confirming from an individual that was a police officer up there in the Northeast that he was saying that the permits were applied for the protest, for the March for Our Lives protest, months in advance. Now, again, I can't verify that. Is it plausible? Possibly. Is it accurate? I don't know. But one thing that I do know for a fact, and Doug and I and Joe and I talked about this in detail on our last show on Friday, is that this was not an organic movement with March for Our Lives and David
nope.
Hogg and all this stuff right now. This stuff has been heavily publicized, heavily pushed by the mainstream media, and heavily funded. We already know for March for Our Lives, a nonprofit organization that even hosted this whole debacle up there that they ran, was not organic at all. They had numerous celebrities that had come out and said that they were giving $500,000 to charity for this, to donate it to March for Our Lives. The thing was, March for Our Lives does not have to list how much money it's received because of the listing that it's under. However, just from the math that we put together from celebrities and individuals that guaranteed money, is that they got at least minimum $4.5 million in donations for this. This was not some, oh, we're going to throw some stuff on Facebook and get some people to show up there and protest. That was not what happened whatsoever. This thing, in my opinion, has been brewing for months. The exact same thing happened after Sandy Hook, if you guys remember, not the March for Our Lives, but the media and all the issues that ensued afterwards as far as talking about the gun control, the bills that were already ready. Does anybody wonder how the heck we got such an incredibly unconstitutional bill in the state of Florida signed into law within just 3 weeks of the shooting? Does anybody question that? We not only took the rights away from people under 21 for buying a firearm, we designated bump fire stocks and anything related to an accessory that can increase your rate of fire a felony to possess. At the same time, we allow the police to confiscate our weapons just on the hunch that we're crazy. At the same time, we gave the Florida School District another $400 million in money to basically spend at their discretion. Does anybody think this bill just came out of thin air and just popped up and all of a sudden it was signed into law 3 weeks later, the very end, by Rick Scott? You guys have to be living on Mars. Now, I mean, I'm talking about our listeners. I'm talking to anybody in the mainstream that actually thinks this bill got built and signed and ready to go that fast. You got your head in the sand. It was the same thing how after 9/11 happened. Miraculously, this 1,800-page document, the Patriot Act, all of a sudden drops on the desk a week after 9/11 and it gets signed into law by George W. Bush a few weeks later. You can't come up with bills that fast, guys. It's not physically possible. This stuff has to be researched. It has to make sure it has the right wordage. It has to make sure it has the right formatting. It has to be proofread hundreds of times to make sure it's exact. This stuff doesn't just, oh, we're just going to write a bill up and we're just going to throw it out there and it'll just get signed into law next week. It doesn't work like that. So when we saw this happen in Parkland, I knew for a fact that there was something else going on behind the scenes well before this ever occurred. And from what I heard up there with that permit supposedly being applied for, I strongly believe this has been massively funded on the back end. They needed a precipitating incident, in my opinion. Were they related? I don't know. However, there's nothing to stop somebody from applying for a permit for a protest and then waiting for an incident to happen to automatically have it already en route, ready to go. That's why they were able to get the protest together so quickly, literally within 4 weeks of the shooting. Most protest permits take much, much longer to get reviewed and basically get approved when you're talking about that level of people, especially the Capitol area. So, yes, Dad, very interesting. More stuff that we keep finding out about this that just proves the fact that this kid and his little stooge friends down there in Parkland are doing nothing else than the bidding of the globalists and the mainstream media. I don't even know if these kids know what the heck's going on. They're just fully brainwashed idiots, in my opinion.
No, I can't say it any better than that, Austin. Oh, by the way, I've talked to you guys many times about black magic, the occult, and the CIA. And I told you that they're an occult organization. I mean, what they've done with all the different drugs and mind-bending stuff they used. According to some sources, MK often went to beyond the mere research of mind control and incapacitation of enemies and branched out into the world of black magic, witchcraft, and the occult. The accusation was first put forth by British investigative journalist Gordon Thomas, who wrote the 2007 book Secrets and Lies, and who claims that Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, we talked about him on the show, chief of the CIA's technical services branch and also known as the Black Sorcerer due to his expertise with poisons, used the program to explore the world of black magic and harness the forces of darkness and challenge the concept that the inner reaches of the mind are beyond reach. To this end, people often involved with MKUltra reportedly met with, consulted, studied, and employed numerous mystics, occultists, fortune tellers, palm readers, clairvoyants, astrologists, mediums, psychics, practitioners of voodoo, witchcraft, black magicians, and demonologists, Satanists, and even a monsignor in charge of exorcism from the Catholic Archdiocese of New York. The program also allegedly pursued magic rituals for possible military use. According to Thomas, the CIA employed three astrologers for telling the future, as well as two palm readers whose abilities were looked at for their use in intelligence activities, a sorceress from Houston named Sybil Leak, and various other psychics and occultists. This is the CIA. They are a satanic organization. This is an excellent article. I want you guys all to read it. It's called Black Magic, the Occult, and the CIA by Brett Swancer, S-W-A-N-C-E-R. Phenomenal article, which, of course, I've talked about this. If you read the book, The Men Who Stare at Goats, it goes into detail about a super-secret program through the CIA that General Stubblebine was involved in. He's also the one who says that the plane never hit the Pentagon. He also talks about how they talk about how he was continually trying to walk through walls, kid you not, how they were actually able to stare at a goat, and one person was able to do this using black magic and stop the heart of a goat, kill it, and drop it dead in its tracks. This is a satanic, witchcraft, occult-ridden organization that's running the country and is being controlled through the black magic sorcerers of the Khazarians, the New World Order, the satanic pedophile ring, all of the above. That's what the CIA is. That's why I've told you guys so many times that if Trump was really in charge of the United States, which he is not, that he will put the CIA back on a leash where it belongs, just like John F. Kennedy had a chance to do and was killed for it. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, there's definitely, I've talked about this so many times, almost everything as far as with the CIA, it's all, I mean, they are literally the globalist satanic organization of the world, in my opinion, with 95% of what they do. Granted, yes, there may be some of them in there that are lower levels that have no idea what's going on. You have people in there that maybe are working as phone reps or accountants. I'm not talking about those guys. I'm talking the guys at the upper top of the CIA. They know what's going on. That's why I talked about when we all of a sudden put this girl that supposedly had been involved with black ops sites and everything else now as the head of the CIA. Now we moved the director of the CIA, the head of the CIA, into the position of Secretary of State. This stuff is just rife with corruption, and what the CIA does, you already know, and Dad talks about it all the time. So when we see these guys rolling further up into the top levels of the United States government, that only confirms one thing to me, is that the swamp's not drained. This is what's going on, but they're involved in some pretty creepy stuff on a regular basis, not to mention everything else they do as far as with the drug running, the gun running, the money laundering, all that stuff they're involved in on a regular basis. They've been caught with numerous times. You can watch that one movie, American Made, with Tom Cruise about the Iran-Contra scandal and basically running the dope into Arkansas and running the machine guns down to Mexico and down to Colombia and everything. That whole issue is something that's been completely overlooked that nobody wants to address, and people want to pretend like, oh, that was just an isolated incident. That's only happened one time. That's not something they're normally involved in. Give me a break, guys. This is something they do on a regular basis. They do not have to follow constitutional law. The CIA has no restrictions of the U.S. government. From pretty much everything I've read, these guys operate as their own entity. That's why, when's the last time you saw somebody in the CIA get indicted or go to prison on federal charges? When's the last time you guys saw that? When's the last time you saw somebody in the CIA actually do prison time for corruption or money laundering or drug running or anything, even that incident? None. Zero.
Well, awesome.
Even when the... Was that...
I've seen it before, but that's when they were whistleblowers. They turned the tide. They turned in the CIA for what it was doing, and they were immediately put
exactly.
in jail.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. How many people went to jail with, you know, the ATF and Fast and the Furious that actually were involved in it? I mean, that's my point. Is that when they're involved in it and they keep their mouth shut and they don't whistleblow anything, nobody ever gets in trouble for this stuff, guys. That right there is a clear indication that they are above of the law, which is quite sad in this country, but that is exactly what we're seeing. Also, too, another domestic news out in California, 3 earthquakes hit the San Andreas fault line this weekend over California in the same place. All quakes struck about 30 minutes south of San Jose, California, on the western coast of the United States. They said the shakes were only minor with no one injured, but the area affected runs right along the San Andreas fault. They said the shake released some of the pressure, but experts are now warning California to prepare for another major shake. Mr. Graves, who's a researcher out there, said the San Andreas Fault in Southern California last had a major quake in 1857. He said studies have dated previous major offsets along that fault trace show that there have been about 10 major quakes over the past 1,000 years. The average time in between these major quakes is about 100 to 150 years. So we are literally right on the precipice of seeing another very large scale. The last one that happened was a 7.8 magnitude, and obviously in 1857, the infrastructure in California was much more minimal compared to what it is to today. So again, the only reason why I bring that up is not to fearmonger, but to give our listeners or any of our friends and family that live on the West Coast the reminder that that is a very volatile area over there, and to always be prepared for any situation. That's why I always tell people to make sure you have food, water, whatever else you need as far as emergency medic kits on hand at all times in your vehicle and or at your house, because that area over there, it's not one of those things where you're going to get a couple days warning in most cases. It usually comes on you pretty fast with those earthquakes out there. So a lot of people are used to it, but again, that 100 and 150 year span, last one was 1857, that's floating on time right now, Deb.
You know, you never know when that thing's going to hit out there. It's crazy. By the way, a new memo to prosecutors. New memo to prosecutors now reveals law allowing the government to execute legal marijuana growers.
Wow.
I don't even know what to say about this. I mean, I read this stuff and I'm like, you know, why are they doing this? To make America great again, Donald Trump announced last month that he'll be moving forward with his plan to execute people. I mean, we're talking like capital punishment, electric chair, you know, lethal injection, gas for selling drugs. All right. Now, I don't have a problem with people who are selling drugs and killing people involved with organized crime doing that, the death penalty. But without any critical thought or scientific approach, the president completely ignored all the data and instead opted for the police state as a solution to the opioid epidemic, encouraging, ravaging the nation that is being caused by our federal government and our CIA.
Yeah.
We can have all the blue ribbon committees we want, but if we don't get tough on drug dealers, we're wasting our time. Just remember that. We're wasting our time, and that toughness includes the death penalty, Trump exclaimed before he was met with applause. As his supporters cheered on the wholesale state-sanctioned slaughter of people for conducting voluntary interactions, their applause were also unwittingly supporting the murder of legal marijuana growers. Last week, after President's most tyrannical speech, this article says, the U.S. Attorney Jeff Sessions sent a memo to the nation's federal prosecutors urging them to seek the death penalty in cases involving large-sale drug traffickers. The memo highlights a little-known federal law that allows the U.S. government to execute anyone who grows more than 60,000 marijuana plants. As the Denver Post points out, Sessions' memo talks largely about opioids, but federal law contains no such drug-specific limitation on prosecutors' power for the death penalty. Trace the law's meandering route through federal statutes, you'll come to this conclusion, anyone convicted of cultivating more than 60,000 plants or processing more than 60,000 kilograms of a substance that contains marijuana could face death as a punishment. Now, I'm looking at this as a very big stretch for legal growers of marijuana in the United States. I think this article is off kilter on that. What they're doing, they're making a point that the drug companies in the United States that are legally raising pot are being prosecuted and persecuted now by the federal government from this ridiculous, absolutely loser, Jeff Sessions. Now, the sad part about all of this stuff is this, Austin. It's all obfuscation. This is bread and circuses for the masses. This is, let me not pay any attention to what's going on over here with this $1.5 trillion and 1,000 square miles of heroin that's being raised under the guise of the United States by the CIA and brought into the United States and given to these now drug dealers they want to give the death penalty to. Let's not look at the fact that the United States government is doing this. What this is pure obfuscation from Trump. Trump knows what's going on in Afghanistan. He's not an idiot. He knows what's going on. He knows that we're raising the heroin and bringing it into the country. What this is news for the masses to make him look tough on drugs. He's been so eviscerated by what he did with the media in pushing this gun law stuff that we had passed in Florida that now he's trying to do damage control. And it's like, look at me, I'm a tough cop, and I'm going after the people right now that are going to be selling drugs. That's what he's doing. And not even making any difference as far as the fact that we're the ones, the United States government, the CIA, the federal government, is the one bringing the drugs in and supplying the very dealers they want to put to death. What do you think?
You pretty much nailed it on that. That's exactly what this is. The aspect of, I do know there's a company out in California that will be cultivating up to 100,000 plants at a time, legally in the state of California, which is how it always should be with any compounds like this. It should be up to the states. So technically, from the law, when I actually looked this article up today, he is accurate on that. Is it a stretch? I think it is. I think you'd have a very, very hard time issuing the death penalty on somebody who's legally growing cannabis in a state that has legally permitted it. I think that'd be very difficult. Even at that, though, you know, somebody that's involved in trafficking dope or trafficking heroin, I still have a very difficult time justifying the death penalty because of the fact that this is something, as Dad just said, this is all about going out there and doing this. This reminds me so much of the stuff I watched with Reagan with the whole war on drugs. We're going to be tough on the war on drugs. We're not going to allow this stuff, blah, 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 blah. First off, the war on drugs is a complete and total joke. It's a fallacy. It's made up. It doesn't exist. It's something the United States has built to allow the DEA to remain actually useful in this country. We create crimes to fight the same crimes so we can look like we're having this big war on drugs so we have another boogeyman to fight. Same as a terrorism, same as Russia. It's just another boogeyman. We already know that the opium production in Afghanistan has literally exploded exponentially in the last 15 years, ever since we invaded that country over there. That's a known fact. It's not even arguable anymore. To the point now, they're producing more than 10,000 metric tons of this stuff on an annual basis. At the same time, we continue to send thousands of more United States infantry troops into that country with very little fanfare from anybody else. Nobody understands why we keep sending troops into a country that we don't even need to be in, period. There's no legitimate purpose for us to be in that country except for protecting the cultivating of this compound. So once you understand that, that's a side note. This aspect that we're looking at domestically, instead of saying anybody who's actually caught importing large amounts of heroin out of Afghanistan and through the borders could be subject to this, now they're coming out. Now they're saying drug dealers, meaning just about anybody that could be involved in some type of drug transaction, including the massively overrated cannabis trade as far as what they're trying to do, could be subject to this. This is all about the federal government using their tyrannical power to scare the masses into submission, so we quake in our boots and say, oh, you better not do that. You better not sell a vitamin that they've deemed illegal. Oh, look, they're talking about making B12 illegal. Oh, you don't want to sell that. If you sell that, they're considering that to be a drug. What about kratom? Oh, what about that? Oh, man, if you're in possession of kratom and you sell it, you could get the death penalty. Don't you dare cross the DEA. This is all moving towards a completely and totally tyrannical government that will tell you what you can put in your body, when you can put it in your body, and if you do any more, any less than they say so, you're going to be penalized. That's where this is leading. So everybody has to understand that the war on drugs has nothing to do with the war on drugs. If the United States actually cared about the war on drugs, we'd address people that are killing themselves, that are using drugs like Paxil. We'd address the fact why people are committing suicide and having suicidal thoughts and dying off the withdrawal process of benzodiazepines. We would discuss those issues about pharmaceutical companies being completely uncontrolled with producing products that have little to any backing on them as far as the efficacy and the safety of them. Or we discuss the fact that we have thousands, if not tens of thousands, of deaths and injury a year in the United States due to vaccines that cannot be controlled because they cannot be sued even if they push out a faulty thing. That's what everybody has to understand. The FDA, the DEA, the EPA, these alphabet agencies, they do not care about life. They do not care about as far as if people die. They don't care about sickness, and they sure as heck don't care about drugs and what drugs people use. It's all about control of the masses to make you believe the government has the power to tell you what you can and cannot put in your body. I have never supported the restrictive Schedule 1 classification of cannabis. You guys already know that. I think there's numerous medicinal properties to it, and I think it should never be more than a Schedule 3 at best. However, that's a moot point. The federal government has found that they can make billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, actually, to be exact, incarcerating individuals for the mere possession of a plant that they deem to be illegal. That's the issue what I have with what Jeff Sessions is saying. That's the issue what I have with Trump is saying. They're not addressing the actual issues we're having in this country due to pharmaceuticals, due to the importation of heroin out of Afghanistan, due to the suicides from antidepressants. We're simply saying, if you sell drugs, you're getting the death penalty now. Well, my question is, who is the person that gets to tell me what drugs you sell can get you the death penalty? Who gets to deem those drugs to be that horrific that you get killed for merely possessing or selling them? That's the issue that I have with all this, Dad, is that it's what they say goes. There's no actual research. There's no fact base. Forget the fact that we literally have not had a single death caused in the United States from an overdose of cannabis by itself with no other compound has never happened in the United States. Let's not address that. Let's overlook the fact that we have tens of thousands of people every year die from legally prescribed opioids from doctor prescription pads. Let's not address any of this. Let's just start saying the big bad federal government is now going to give the death penalty to people that sell drugs that the government deems illegal for selling unless you buy them from the pharmaceutical and the pharmacy.
There.
Then they're okay and they're completely legal to buy. It's okay if you want to be hooked on OxyContin. Yeah, it's okay if you
want
to be hooked on amphetamines like Adderall. It's okay. You just have to buy them from us. You dare sell them or buy them on the street, we're throwing you in prison for decades on end. That's the issue I have with all this, Dad.
You said it, and you said it right. It's the fact that they've got dealers out there selling drugs that they're not getting their cut on. Whoa, I said that, didn't I?
Yep.
They got people raising pot, they got people doing stuff and selling it on the street, mm-hmm. And the DEA, the federal government, the CIA, the Khazarian mafia, they're not getting their cut on the drugs.
Yep.
Now Monsanto is going in and they're specializing pot plants to grow basically commercially to sell legally to the United States, and they're going to control the market. That's what they want to do.
There you go.
The CIA. And so they don't want other people competing against them. So when you don't want competition, you create a medical monopoly. When you don't want the drug competition, you create a drug monopoly. This is what they've done. If you buy your drugs from us, we're okay with it. If you want to get addicted to opiates and you've got a prescription for it, we're okay with it. If the doctor wants to legally write you these prescriptions out and you get addicted to it and you continue to get them through the pharmacy, we're okay with it as long as we're getting our cut. But when you start going around us and no longer allowing us to make our cut, and you start taking too much from us, we're going to make it illegal for you to do that and threaten you with the death penalty so that we can take your stuff and kill you because you have gone your way. You have superseded your routing and you have not done what they've told you to do as the peasant, as the serf, as the slave that you are, as the goyim that you are. Now, the goyim wants to sell their own drugs, and the answer is going to be no. It's going to be no. I mean, it's the same thing we've seen. When the state starts coming in and regulating a licensure and regulating the sale of stuff, it's always about control. It's what they do over and over and over again. Now, I want to talk to you one for just a second. I had a very dear friend of mine that I've known for 29 years die this weekend. And I got to cover this with you. I don't want to talk about it, but I'm going to. I had a real rough weekend for the Easter break. Saturday morning, I got a text in on my phone from a pastor who had another pastor who I've known for 29 years, who had worked for him for 4 years, and they had found him basically he had got a gunshot wound to the chest. He'd called 911. He had ended up going to the hospital. They worked on him. He died from a lack of blood, basically the heart damage. I've tried to get more information from the local news, but I can't find anything on it. And what's interesting is this. He was heavily involved in psychotropic drugs for years. I had worked with him for years and years and years. He had a severe blood sugar condition called hypoglycemia, and it was severe. And when he got his sugar low, he'd get the shakes like most people do, and he would have horrible reactions to sugar, to high fructose corn syrup. And he had to make sure he took his B vitamins and his supplements, and he stayed okay. It was manageable. But then what happened is he got married, and he married a woman who loved to eat junk food, and she became very obese and brought junk in, ice cream in, cakes, pies, pasta, all the junk stuff you could possibly want to eat. She ended up gaining 100, 150 pounds after they got married, maybe 200 pounds. And he ended up basically eating this food, which didn't make him gain a lot of weight, but what it did, it just played havoc with his blood sugar. And like I said, as long as he ate clean, it was okay. But him and his wife were having problems. He was living by himself. And I talked to her yesterday, and she said he had come off of all the psychotropic drugs. He actually had to go through a drug rehab center and get cleaned out, and basically because they had got him on. Because what they do with the psychotropics, they don't just give you one. They got to give you one, then they got to give you another, give you another, give you another, give you another. I don't know how many he was on. I'm not going to say, nor am I going to mention his name. But what I do know is this. There are certain pills out there, especially sleeping pills, that cause what we call them lucid dreams or awake dreams or whatever you want to call them. And you actually think that you're in the middle of something that you're dreaming about, but it's really, really, really happening. Let me give you an example. You think you're driving down the interstate highway, but you know you're in bed. But in reality, you really are driving down the interstate highway. You've gotten up, gotten dressed, got in your car, drove down the highway. And now you're basically sleep driving, like sleepwalking, happens all the time. Or you think somebody's in the house and you grab a pistol and you start shooting, and you end up shooting one of the loved ones in the house, or you shoot yourself by accident. Or you basically think you're committing suicide in the dream, but you're actually committing suicide for real. These drugs make you hallucinate that it's a dream and it's not. And you end up in a situation where you shoot yourself in the chest. Now, all I know is he called 911. After he had been shot, according to what I had read and heard so far. And so that means that basically he was unaware of the fact. I don't believe he committed suicide for 1 second. He was a born-again Christian. He was a fine Christian man. I believe what he had was a basically accidental, tragic discharge from a weapon caused by sleep-induced, you know, hallucination. That's all I could say. Now, what you need to know about the link between sleeping pills and suicide, this is really, really important. Prescription sleeping pills are common. As many as 4% of the U.S. adults, or over 10 million people, use them. In fact, it's actually much higher than that. But they also come with fairly alarming potential side effects. The medication guide for Ambien, for example, warns that potential effects may include aggressive behavior, confusion, depression, hallucinations, and suicidal thoughts or actions. Given this, who should take sedative hypnotic medications, the class of drugs to which popular Americans like medications like Ambien and Lunesta belong, and how frequently do the drugs actually cause these problems? A new study published in the American Journal of Psychiatry says the answer is elusive. The new research reviewed previous article behavioral studies to quantify how much people are getting hypnotic increased suicidal thoughts from these drugs. Now, the crazy thing about all of this stuff is that this happens all of the time. I just talked to my pastor friend up here in North Carolina, and he told me last year a member of his church was, the husband and wife were in the bedroom, were sleeping, the husband got up and gone to the bathroom, he hears a gunshot, he goes in, and the wife has shot herself in the stomach, hit an aortic artery, was bleeding out, they called 911, she says, call 911, I don't want to die, I thought I was dreaming, she shoots herself in the gut, and ended up dying. Guys, this is a major, major problem with sleeping pills. They're that dangerous, and I feel they should never, ever be used. Almost always there are deep-seated magnesium or even a calcium deficiency, and they're definitely not, your body's not producing enough melatonin. Now remember, the manufacturers of compounds such as hydrofluorosilicic acid who are dumping it into your water supply and selling it to the municipalities, they know that fluoride causes calcification of the pineal gland, which produces melatonin and allows you to sleep at night. They know that. But they can sell you more drugs to sleep this way. These are major, major products that, dangerous products. It says if you struggle with depression, sleeping aids can be dangerous. It is well established that insomnia and depression have complicated and often intertwined relationships. And if you're being treated for both, it's important you tell your doctors about the treatment. The first few days of taking hypnotics, sleep hypnotics, are the most dangerous. Be especially on the lookout for unusual side effects if you take prescription sleeping pills. The reviews show that the greatest period of documentation of risk and committing suicide is in the first few days of taking these types of products. I mean, this goes on and on and on and on about these products and how bad they are. Guys, it's a major problem. I've lost a really good friend over it. He hasn't ordered supplements from us probably in about over a year, so I knew he wasn't taking any more supplements, at least any supplements that worked. And I hate to see him go. May he rest in peace. But guys, when you go into that medical model, when you step away from the supplements, when you step away from natural treatment protocols, and you decide you want to start taking drugs, and they start having side effects, and you're taking other drugs to combat the side effects of the first drug, guys, this is a death spiral in many, many cases, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse, culminating in some type of tragedy, like I saw with a good friend of mine for the past 30 years this weekend. So my family, my condolences go out to the family. May he rest in peace. We're going to be going to the funeral this week. And guys, please be careful with these types of medications. They're that dangerous, including the tricyclic. Well, tricyclic antidepressants are bad, but they're not as bad as the serotonin reuptake inhibitors as far as causing suicide. But the Prozac and the Zoloft and all those things, they're just really, really, really bad products. You should have at least 4 or 5 doctors, as far as Mike and I'm concerned. I'll say you need to take products like this before you're doing it, because the black box warning stating they cause suicidal tendencies is on that label for a reason, because they cause people to commit suicide. So another one of my friends has died simply because they would not listen and take proper preventive care of their bodies, and it grieves my spirit to no end, Austin, this happened, because I know he's a good friend of yours too, and it saddens me that this has happened, Austin. What do you think?
It was definitely very sad to get the news, and the worst part of it is this isn't the first time this has happened with people that we know, especially with customers and friends. You know, this is one of those things that after you see it over and over and over again, it goes back to exactly what I was just saying a minute ago with this idiotic Jeff Sessions and his memo that he released. You know, we have drugs on the market that we know are not nearly as effective as they should be at fixing the problem, if any effectiveness at all, but they're extremely effective at making you depressed and making you suicidal and making the situation a lot worse in some cases. And the problem is, the medical industry doesn't want to discuss the natural nutritional side to this. You know, we have supplements like the enhanced sleep support or the doggone melatonin sublingual. So, I mean, there's different things that we have that can really help out, that really make a difference, you know, including things like B-complex and omega-3 fatty acids that can really do well with overall mind as far as, you know, mental energy and mental capacity and brain and everything else. So there's always options. That's what we tell people. If you got a question, give us a call at Health Masters. We'll be more than happy to talk to you. Things that go on, you know, as far as between you and your doctor and the drugs, that's between you and him. You know, we can't give you advice on dosages or coming off drugs. We've already said that repeatedly. But, you know, if you're in a position where you haven't gone on these drugs yet, that's always the best place to start with us, because that gives us the opportunity to try to help you from a natural standpoint before you go into the medical model. And this is what I tell people over and over and over again. If you haven't gone into the medical model yet, you're having an issue with, you know, this or that, whatever the situation may be, why not give the nutritional supplemental option a try first? If you try our supplements for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. We have a 90-day money-back guarantee on our products. So if you're not happy with something after, you know, a month or two of using it and you're not content with it, you can send it back to us and we'll give you a refund on it. We're very candid about that. These companies online that have this, like, zero return policy, or the one I like is if you return something, you have 15 days to return it. If you return it, you get a store credit only. Okay, that's cool. No, we give you the option of money back all the way up to 90 days, and we don't do that because we like to get taken advantage of, because we do have some people that have done that. They try to take advantage of us on it. We do that because we want to earn your business, and we want to show you our level of commitment and our efforts to try to help you out as best as possible. If you try something out for a couple months and it's still not working, guess what? That medical model is always there as a backup if you absolutely have to do it and you get multiple doctors' approval as far as to go that route. But why start with that first? Because in most cases, supplement and diet can play a huge role in helping out positively in the body, Dad.
Well, what I always told people when I do the seminars, you know, I'd be standing there in front of 40,000, 20,000, 30,000 people doing a seminar, and I'd say, you know, think about this for a second. If your child's been diagnosed with ADD or ADHD, and, you know, he's hyperactive, or he has a, you know, attention deficit disorder, I said, you know, they're going to put him on a Schedule II drug in the same category with morphine, Percodan, Demerol, all that stuff, Schedule II, Ritalin, Adderall. I said, wouldn't it be easier and probably better choice for that child, rather than putting them on an addictive amphetamine, to try a natural approach first as far as eating right and getting off of red dyes and blue dyes and, you know, and using our Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program? I said, wouldn't that make more sense than it would be to go in and do this medical model of just drug dependence for the rest of their life? And I'd say, let me see your hands, make people rather do that. And invariably, 95% of the population of the seminar would say, yeah, it makes more sense. But the problem is, you're not given that type of reasoning when you medically talk, when you talk to your medical doctor. They don't do that for you. They give you the choice of, like, drugs or nothing. Guys, thanks for supporting us. Awesome. Do the write-up. Love you guys. Thanks for getting your supplements from us. Hope you had a blessed holiday season. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Awesome. The show's yours.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for the support. Hope everybody had a blessed weekend, as always. Again, through tonight, we have the Doug 30, which is the 30% off the Ultimate Multiple Powder, on sale at the website. That'll be ending tonight if you want to get a hold of it. And also, two, the Magnesium Brain Food is on sale for 15% off already on the website. No coupon code needed. Just go online and order as many as you need. We appreciate you guys at healthmasters.com here. If you need anything, call us or email us. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.